Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why more than 100,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their email marketing by going to activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free if you dig in the jam. Do you like that? Listen to this. I love this song. If you like this song, which is Toast by Coffee, you should definitely check out Technori Playlist. It's a new thing that we started doing on Spotify. We update it every single Friday. We already have like, I don't know, what are we, 2,600 likes, 2,600 followers on this. People dig it. Also, we take suggestions. So if there's songs that you want to hear, by all means, send us a little note. You can follow me at Catoon or at Technori and just DM us, and happy to add it to the show. Speaking of today's show, I could not be more excited. Fig CEO Justin Bailey is on the show. If you're familiar with this show, or my live show on WGN, or really my entire existence as the self-proclaimed number one retail investor in the world. That's overstating things, but that's in my head. I'm a huge fan of using crowdfunding for really just about anything. I think the people are the ones who benefit. I think the founders benefit. I think if I'm going to be an early user of something, I would love to have, I don't know, some long-term potential, I guess. I feel like early advocates are huge, right? So that's everything. And as a founder, of course, I think it's a fantastic tool. Anyway, the reason that I bring that up is that Fig is essentially that for gaming. And I'm not quite sure about all of you. I have always been into gaming. I was a pretty solid, good gamer, I would say, for Madden sports games, Call of Duty, that kind of stuff back in college. And after that, as a kid playing, you know, Madden football on my Sega Genesis and NES, kind of got lost a little while, not into it. Always saw the potential, always talked up anyone who would listen about the potential from a content and media standpoint, the Twitches, of the world, the previously Ustream of the world, the unlimited capacity to create characters and avatars and make them do crazy shit you could never do in real life. I get it. I see the fascination. I think some people didn't and don't, but they do now because we're in this quarantine world where we have nothing but shit to watch. So I've been watching a ton of gaming stuff. So I'm super excited because Fig is essentially crowdfunding for gaming. And also, why not put everything together in one shot, right? I'm a huge fan of Republic. You can follow my investing activity at republic.co/Catoon, or just go to our website, technori.com, which, by the way, by the time you listen to this, is a brand new, brand spanking new, content rich, mobile friendly, everything website we just launched. And this might be the show that launches the new site. I'm not even sure. But what you will hear when you listen to this is that Fig is now joining Republic as part of an acquisition. So not only can you invest in all the companies that we feature on our Startup Showcase stuff and on Instagram, but you can also invest in future video games and gamers. And I think this is just the beginning, because I think what we're going to see is gaming is going to be as much about competition as it is content. There's going to be clans that you normally would like relate to a game and be like, oh, this clan dominates this game or whatever. You're going to start relating that to clans who are create content, clans who are creating ad models behind their group, and they're making as much money on the content side as they are winning tournaments. In fact, the ones that lose probably make more money because it's fun to watch. And if you think it's crazy, if you think this is nuts, you have nothing to do right now. I mean, I'm sure you have work, but you're just telling people that you're not doing shit. I know this because that's what I'm doing. Go download Twitch or Mixer or whatever the fuck you want, really, and listen to it. Watch a game. Just watch. Follow some people who are gamers on Instagram. Just watch the content. It will stand out. Trust me. You won't even have to look for it. It stands out because it's crazy and it's awesome. And I'm super excited about it. So with that said, this is my interview with Justin Bailey, CEO of Fig.
I'm to purchase some new games as well. So
yeah, no question.
Yeah, but let me dive back in. So video games came up number two. And then the most surprising part about that was that video games weren't on the survey. I was like, what? So video games were a write-in. So enough people wrote in video games to be number two. So it's potential, if you did that all over again and you put video games as an official selection, it would by far and away be the top one.
That's so crazy to me. And I obviously joining forces with Republic makes perfect sense for a whole multitude of reasons. The reality is, like, I'm sure you're familiar. Well, I know you are because it's your business. Other groups out there that do equity crowdfunding, we have worked with all of them, and there's no knock. Each one kind of has their own sort of thing. But the audience for Republic, for whatever reason, has always been the most like passionate and open-minded. And it's like part of it is investing for real. There are real investors on the platform. I'm one of them. There are also tons of people who are like just pro entrepreneurial spirit, like mission, just want to like help you try to do you. And then there's a big group of people who are like, and this probably relates to why they're into crypto and stuff too, that love exploration. They love the idea of exploring new, testing boundaries, exploring new business areas, exploring new types of things, contents, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me that Chuck would reach out to you and want a partner. And then it becomes obvious that you guys have tons of different areas of interest. They run the survey. Is this acquisition? Like how does this come together?
Yeah. So Chuck says, we think there's a lot of, a lot of potential for a partnership here. And so we talked and, I mean, we're actually getting 2019 was one of our best years. It's the third straight year of positive investor returns, which all those details are being announced also on Friday. For me, like, I know video games really well, but, there is a lot of overhead associated with the accounting and the legal pieces of it. We don't have a broker dealer. We are an operating publisher, which is really awesome. But, Republic actually has all that. Yep. So, for me, like the CPAs and having the legal help, and then having, close to 500,000 registered investors. We have a community of like 100,000. I was just thinking to myself, wow, if we all partner up on this, a lot of that headache of stuff I used to have to be over goes away. I can concentrate mostly on the video game portion, but also for our community and the developers we help, we're 4X-ing or 5X-ing, in total our reach. And so I see a lot of potential. We've worked with some amazing games. I mean, if you talk about a publisher who's working with new IP, more than half their games are successful, that's kind of crazy because you see most publishers are just releasing sequels now. They're not really taking many chances on new IP because it's so risky. So that in itself is good. But then, like, we have a lot of critically acclaimed games. Like, The Baptist just happened. And our game, Outer Wild, the first one we funded, actually won Best Game of the Year. So and beat out all those publishers, right? All those big, like, it beat out EA and Activision and everybody else. And then our game, our mobile game, won Best Mobile Game. It's what the golf, and it was one of the launch titles for Apple Arcade. And that one won Best Mobile Game over, I think, Call of Duty. And I was like, holy crap, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, these people, and these are developers, like the What the Golf developer, Triband, they're from Denmark. And so, we work with developers from all over the world, and it's just the game industry. It's really cool to see, like, these new ideas. And, I saw that when they showed me the first trailer of that, I was just kind of blown away. I was like, this is going to be a hit. It's kind of like, it reminded me of World of Goo when I saw that. And sometimes you can know that. But, I was head of a green light committee for two kind of major publishers. But sometimes I would get that take of like something's going to be really popular. But the thing I always wanted was like to show that to a group of gamers. And, I always thought to myself, hey, the whole idea of crowdfunding is I can have like a green light committee of, 10 people, but what if I could have a green light committee of like 10,000 people? And that's kind of what I think this is. You have like, 10,000 and now it's going to be like 500,000 people looking at a game. And if we all agree, it's exciting. This is probably a pretty good, indicator has a chance to succeed in the market.
Yeah. I mean, to be totally honest with you, like, well, there's a couple things. I mean, first, that's the same premise, right? For the startups, what I have told every founder, and this is kind of a funny story here that I'll give you, but, the founders that we've gotten on Republic or that have come to us from Republic, all of the major mainstream investors that would be like, oh, don't do that, it fucks your cap table up, blah, 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 which is just not true at all. I would say to them, what's the first thing you have to get right? like not the raise, just in general, like, oh, PMF, product market fit. Can you tell me a better way to do that than to run a campaign where hundreds of thousands of people are going to get a look at what you do and undoubtedly, particularly if you post it on Twitter, undoubtedly tell you their unbiased opinion of how what they think your company is? Like, it's a no-brainer. And as far as like the conversation you've got going with Republic in general, you know, when we, so the, like how I got in touch with those guys in the first place, I had acquired Technori officially and had planned to do an equity crowdfunding platform with it. I thought it was a no-brainer. We had hundreds of companies who'd pitched and raised hundreds of millions of dollars from our events. And we were, you know, I was getting deal flow like no one's business. And I thought, well, no-brainer. So I start doing my research and I start meeting kind of the people who are in the space, and Ken Wynn was one of them. And I get talking to him, and money aside, I just thought, Jesus, this guy is better at this than me. Like, he just is. To your point about knowing your thing, but then the accounting and other stuff and the broker dealer, like all these things are complicated that will take me longer to do because they're not my sweet spot, but they are his. And I remember talking to him and be like, well, how much have you raised? And I'm going to quote this wrong, but it was something like 12 million or something at the time. And this is like 15 going into 16. And I'm like, I have called every investor in Chicago and I can't even get like three. People are just like, this is stupid. And I'm talking to Charles Adler from Kickstarter and everybody. And it's just like not working. And I kind of look up and I was like, if I go against Ken and Republic to try to compete here, I'm going to get my head cut off. And speaking of Activision, they got Start Engine. The founder, Howard Marks, is the Start Engine guy. And so like there's so many areas, right? So then I start talking to Ken and we build this partnership, and it's sort of a, hey, let's work with each other. You do you, I do me. And what he has built is just proof that I was right in the beginning. He was a better man. He was a better person for this. When you throw in the, when Republic Crypto really gets rolling and the affiliation with AngelList and CoinList and these others, and now Fig, I just think that they are so far ahead of where this market is going, which I'd love to spend some time talking to you about a little bit also on top of this, which I'll pivot it with this. Where you guys are in this space is where I think, I just wrote this post on technori.com about Quibi and how Quibi, you know, whatever. I don't want to get into it. You can read the art. People can read the article if they want to hear about my thoughts on Quibi. What I think it does though, is it creates an opportunity for creators to do some really cool shit, and they can have it funded on platforms like Fig. Like, I'm sure Republic will be in it and have you guys do this at some point too, or create another, you know, another brand line that enables creators to do YouTube shows, Instagram shows, Quibi, quick bite shows designed for mobile that studios just aren't, like, they're just not positioned to do. This is why you're talking about these cool games that are beating the main studios. It's because these studios try to take this like Apple TV Plus approach where they put all these smart quote unquote people in a room and famous people and then throw a fucking ton of money at them. And that's just not how our younger demographic likes to consume, whether that's gaming, watching, whatever. So, I mean, I just think that you are so positioned for the future. It's just insane. And the way that Republic looks at the investors and how they pick people, whether that's people who campaign or investors, I mean, they're very selective. They don't want people on the platform that aren't really, you know, made of the same cloth, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it totally does. And when I met, you know, Chuck invited me to New York, and I met Ken, I met some of the rest of the team, and very impressed immediately. And I went to their offices and just kind of got to know people. I mean, you'll definitely see product-wise, like Fig is going, it's always kind of been a weak part for us, and it's about to take, 10X kind of jump up, which is great, right?
So I mean, our new website is an inspiration from Republic, like no joke. Like we built... I got permission first. I know Chuck is going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck? I didn't say that. No, but like I told him, I was like, I want to use some of the stuff that you guys use in the flow and design. And because they're so good at it, they know their market so well. So I totally buy that.
Yeah. And it really like one of my co-founders, like he the CTO and amazing front end guy, knows his back end stuff, brilliant engineer. And like him and I have kind of been doing the product and like having an actual dedicated product person, like that's just an example right there. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we had these video games, we had these amazing videos and assets to work with. And I just felt like, you know, we're never fully capitalizing on, you know, bringing that forward. And you can start to see, and you'll see it with even just the splash page that you go to on Republic, like they're pulling all those assets out and showing how fun this is. And so, you know, one kind of example of this partnership, is already happening there. But
what's the link for that? Because by the time this goes live, I'm sure it'll be up.
Yeah, it is. So it's republic.co/fig.
Okay. Very cool. Yep. We'll make sure we put that in the notes.
Yeah. And then like, I think what you're talking about is something that really inspired me is I did some, you know, I was doing research when I was working at Double Fine, and I was just kind of looking into, what was happening with the game industry. And as I mentioned, like, you know, Tim just wants to create his games, and he kind of wants the business stuff to be handled by somebody else. And, so there's a lot of creators like that. I mean, making a game is incredibly tough.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, part of the mission of Fig was to figure out a way to do some of that business stuff to help the funding and the publishing of it, but also keep the creator completely in control of the creative vision of the project. And so that's one of the reasons we structured it. Like I talked about tracking stocks, so to get a little more technical again, what we do is we enter a license agreement with a game developer. They grant us, you know, a revenue share from that license agreement. And then we take a tracking stock and tie it to those rights we have, those revenue rights. So what that allows us to do is, you know, we're a co-publisher of this game, and we're providing them funding to develop the game. But in a way, they can go off, they're not taking on all the responsibilities to go and do the financial reporting and, you know, all the legal due diligence that they need to do. Like we do all the market due diligence. Like we'll look into the developer, make sure that they're viable and see what the track record is and stuff like that. But for them, they can really just concentrate on that game, and making it and getting feedback from the community and using that to kind of inform their creative process, which I always thought was like the ideal circumstance. And it's proving out now, because we've won those two awards. Two of our games won those two awards. There's plenty of other awards that our games have won. There's actually over 100 nominations. But, I mean, you can kind of start to see the power when you decouple these things, and you really do allow that creator to have control of that vision, which doesn't always happen with traditional publishers. As a matter of fact, it never happens.
Like, I mean, it does happen, but it doesn't. Like, it's the Johnny Ivy effect, where like, you have a couple people who can do crazy shit inside of the big publishers, yep, because they have earned that, yep, right. But everybody else is just like waiting in line.
Yes. And I know some of those creators and like, they're fine. Like they, you know, they're off and they get their funding and they do have their creative control, but it's all the people that are trying to become the new great creators that, this helps empower. And that is something tying into what you're talking about, Republic. Like I saw, like there's a lot of minority and women founders. And I think that's awesome because it's the same with Fig. We have the same situation. We have minority game developers and women are just creating these games. And, you know, we're just seeing like, Hey, how can we empower this? And so back to the analogy before, we were looking back at Hollywood, and there was a time in Hollywood where all these films were being shot, at the studio, at these big studios, there were these big set piece things, and
MGM.
There was no, what's that?
MGM. Everyone's over at MGM.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you remember it's like Cleopatra Day, yep, and like the Spartacus. I love Spartacus, by the way, but it was, yeah, Spartacus, and you get the picture. Like they weren't, there was not much creative innovation happening, and then all of a sudden, like you know, like Warren Beatty and you know, Steven Spielberg and a bunch of others kind of went off and they started Nicholson. Like, hey, let's just shoot on. Yeah, exactly. Like let's shoot on location. Let's go outside the funding network. Let's go get all of our money from independent people outside the studio framework. And, you know, film finance was founded. And it really became more like funding projects. Right. And so, you know, one of the things we're doing is we have the ability to, you know, fund these licensing agreements that are funding specific games. And so, you know, I think that is really powerful and could potentially be something in the long run, that is just as effective for the game industry. I mean, if you look at the major franchises now, right, you see obviously Star Wars and, you know, Godfather and, You can just go through, go down a list, and those films that were created back then are the ones that are the dominant ones going forward. And now film finance is the way that new content gets funded. So
I could not agree with you more. I think this is sort of that. I mean, I'm kind of a, I'm not a buff of history, but I'm a buff of like historical trends. And if you just did a perfect one with the film industry, you could do the same thing with the music industry. You could do the same thing with entrepreneurs and startups. You could do the same thing with .com boom bust. You can do the same thing with, you know, sort of the move over to hedge funds and now back. There's this sort of everything is status quo until somebody comes in and realizes there's a way to decentralize the source of power and then spread that amongst all of these people who are able to sort of create without restraint. And I think one of the biggest challenges that, you know, I've seen as an investor and working with startups is that they take out all this money and then immediately handcuffs are put on. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Before you invested in me, I had all this potential. You bought into it. And then you gave me money to accelerate it. But in doing so, gave me handcuffs that make it to where I can't be me and I can't accelerate. It happens all the time. It's happened to me. It drives me fucking nuts. It drives founders crazy. And creators, you know, founders, while they are usually, there's an element of creativity there, typically they can rely on numbers and the CFO and legal and sort of wind their way out. Creators can't. You know, if you take away the creative bug in a gamer, game creator, a musician, a film person, any designer, photographer, whatever, it's basically like cutting their hands off. Like there is no recovery. And so I think as you start to see them have these tools, it's going to just get bigger and bigger and more widespread. And you guys are going to crush this, I think. I also think, to another point of this, of the Republic deal, what is unique is, and I just thought of this while you were telling the story about the film era. When you look at the current investors, myself included, who I would say probably, with the exception of my wife's retirement, I will probably never have a financial advisor unless I got to a point where I had so much money, which I'll be happy to get to that point, where it was like, here, you take this shit. I'm going to play on the side. I probably won't ever do that because I look at my folder now and it's like, I've got some Reg D investments. I've got some angel investments. I've got a bunch of equity crowdfunding, retail investments. I would love to put some investments in games and things that you do. I have a couple of things that I'm invest on the side of, on like filmmaking, a couple of buddies of mine that went to high school that I went to high school with that now have some stuff on Netflix that I think are really cool. And then I've got my wallet for crypto, and Republic has their hands in all of that. And I'm looking at it like a guy like you and myself and the people who are going to fund our projects. Those people look at their wallet and go, I want to invest a little bit in futures currency. I want to invest a little bit in some startups. I want to invest a little bit in some stuff that's pre-IPO. I want to buy some public shit. I want to fund this next game. I want to fund a passion. And it's just, you're building a tool that I think makes this, it's just like the timing could not be more perfect for this. And I've talked to, you know, half dozen podcasts since Corona started. Or since it, you know, not since it started, but since it really started impacting the U.S. and the coast in particular. Mm-hmm. And a handful of them have had trouble in the event space, but the vast majority of them have looked at this opportunity and been like, man, the changes that are going to happen as a result of this will enable all of these things to like kick into motion. Like, I talked yesterday and they're like the decentralization of fulfillment centers. Like that's a thing that people would never have done. And now they will, because they've had the time to sort of realize the benefits. This is that. And it's just, I don't know. It's really cool. I'm super excited for you guys. What are some of the projects that you guys are working on or you expect to come out down the pipeline that you are most particularly excited about? Like what would be the one thing that, you know, obviously you talked about the Republic deal, some of the hardware that you're going to get into. These are all things that were on your roadmap that are great. But what's something about this that you think long-term could just be, would be like the greatest thing ever for you?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things I'm working on right now. One I think is really exciting. Like I myself am a retro gamer. I love nostalgia. This is probably not the one that's going to be like the $1 billion opportunity, but you know, the way we're structured, it doesn't have to be $1 billion opportunities for investors to make money and for the creators to, you know, pursue like very, you know, very, work that they get a lot of like, you know, smiles from. I don't know. Sorry.
Totally. No,
so we're just guessing. Regardless. So, you know, I'm working with a studio who has worked with the revitalizing a lot of this older IP, and doing so in a way where they bring the original creators back, and they shoot some footage of what's happening, and they kind of update people and they update the IP. And, that's one, I think, in the future that'll come up. They've had some amazing success doing this for publishers. I mean, we're talking ridiculous, like 10x success for the publisher. You know, somewhere they spent $1 million on a project and it returned $10 million in a year. I mean, stuff like that. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that is something where you see a passionate base of people who follow this IP, and you really want those people to be involved in the beginning and have a chance to have a, you know, financial stake in it. So, obviously, you know, past performance is not a indicator of future success. So, you know, that
certainly helps, though, right? Certainly, it is definitely in the equation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one. And then the other thing, I think the bigger ideas I have, and I've always, like, I have a bunch of IP holders, and like, I don't want to, like, these publishers out there, I was originally like, we're going to replace you guys, but that was kind of hubris on my part, because, you know, ended up that a lot of our games, actually the majority of our games actually do have publishers, and we work with traditional publishers, and they have like amazing IP, and it looks like we're going to be partnering. You know, there's a really huge, great opportunity to partner with these publishers. And so, like, for instance, EA or Activision, they have all these back catalogs of games and IP that you could revitalize. I mean, huge things. So, you know, give you an example real quick. You got Wing Commander. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that IP, but you have Chris Roberts and Wing Commander, and it's a huge IP. It's owned by Origin, which got acquired by EA. So EA owns it. And then the original creator, he doesn't have access to the IP anymore. So he goes on and starts this project called Star Citizen. And then he goes on Kickstarter. I think he raises like $2 million. It's not even one of the, you know, top performers on Kickstarter. He's like, okay, great. I'm going to actually go and start my own website and just start releasing trailers and getting people involved with this. And, you know, now he's raised $250 million. So, that just shows some of the potential there is in like this IP, and what if he had Wing Commander, right? If he actually had that IP, because this is actually Star Citizen is the spiritual successor to Wing Commander. Everybody knows it. So, so that exists all throughout video games. And these publishers, and it's a very small industry. And so we're actually pretty tight. I know the creators of this very iconic IP that people would love to see come back. For some reason or another, it doesn't work with the way publishers are set up for them to go and just fund it all themselves. But if you can bring like a mass of people together who are really passionate about it, it can work. And so literally we just have to, and the numbers been given to me is like, you can hit 10 million. If you can start to raise 10 million or more, these publishers are like, that becomes interesting to us. We can release this IP. I can start to get these original creators associated with that IP. And in some instances, by the way, it's not even getting those original creators to create a new game. In some instances, it's getting like up and coming talent, to actually create that new game, and the original creator being an advisor to them.
Correct. So you actually, this is not to be, rehash the same thing, but you were talking about the film industry. You know, what you're describing is what happened, you know, call it 35 years after Warren Beatty and Jack Nicholson and those guys are hanging out at Frank Sinatra's living room. Like, this is when they realized the power was in them and the power is in assembling. You look at any major motion picture, which, you know, honestly, and I think this is actually really appropriate more now, this conversation, than ever. I talked about, you know, the posting of my Quibi article about the fact that it changes how creators can use and view and access and create content and monetize it. The Quibis of the world, who just took out $1.5 billion for 2 years worth of funding and building content that I would argue is more or less shit, because it's not organic and it just doesn't feel natural. There was some IP that they did with Punk'd where they got Chance the Rapper, and that actually is kind of cool. The point I'm getting at is they can't keep that up. Netflix and the rest can't keep maybe Amazon can because they just print money, but like the rest of them can't keep spending $1 billion on content, but they can spend $1 million. And even Snapchat got into this a little bit. And I hope that they actually lean into the gaming more than anyone else, but that's another podcast for another story. I really think that these big houses, and we're going to use it the example that you're talking about in the gaming industry, they can't afford to fund all this shit all day long for all these top people that have historically been successful. But what they can do is they can say, well, put $1 million here and $1 million there. And then you kind of go fund yourself. Like you can go do you. And then he comes back and he goes, well, I raised $1 million to get people's interest. Found out people like it, just like a movie, did a pilot. People liked it, did it on YouTube, got some clicks. It was cool. Built a revenue model. We're good. Then got a couple of smaller, whether it's an investor or a production house, smaller studios to back it, to bring it to a point where you could assemble the team and start working on it. And then once you've gotten to the point where it's like, we're ready for release, that's when the Paramount Pictures of the world, and in this case, you know, the Activision, comes in and goes, you've raised 100, we'll fucking dump 500 on it. Let's go bananas. And then they give you access to all the IP that they own because it benefits them.
Yeah, and that's actually what happened with Outer Wilds. So their first game was funded, and like they had won like their demo. So these guys started at USC. This team, it was like the two creators, a male, female, basically got together, and they created a demo. That demo won a bunch of awards. They then came to Fig and raised the rest of the money that they needed to kind of polish out that demo. But then even before it actually got released, Annapurna was looking at that and was like, oh my God, you know, we can pour millions into this and make this an even bigger game. And so they actually bought out our rights. And so, you know, the Fig investors made, it was like 260% return in about a year.
Right?
It was great. Yeah. So then Annapurna bought it out and they dumped millions into it. And then it came out and it's the game it is. And then when, you know, it's up for best game, against these AAA franchises that have $100 million plus budgets, and actually ends up winning it from, you know, major award show. So
I could sit here and nerd out with you about this all day long. I have to tell you, I'm just so excited to have you a part of the Republic squad or team. I know, I'm not sure. Chuck says I'm part of the family. Ken says I'm part of it. I'm going to just say I am. I've been OG for Republic. So to see something like this come in to me makes me feel great. And I'm super happy to have you part of this whole thing. And I'd love to stay in touch with you on this because I will be investing all of my wife will never listen to this podcast. Not only does she not listen to any of my podcasts, so think I'm funny. It's gaming and investing. She could give a shit less. So I can say this. I'm going to pour every free dollar I have into the companies, the crypto, and the games that come out of this stuff. So I really appreciate you taking this time. I would love you to tell everyone where and when and how they can follow you guys and stay in contact, whether that's the gamers. We've got a pretty crazy audience here. Like there's gamers in it and there's buyers and investors. So where can everyone get in touch with you for what they need, and when can we expect the madness to begin?
Yep. So the splash page that covers it is republic.co/fig, or you can just go to fig.co. That is .co, not .com, because Republic and us, we both share that we use the .co domain. So go there and you'll see all the information and all the campaigns that we have live.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Justin. For everyone listening to this show, check out the TechNerdy podcast on Spotify. We did with Charles Adler, the co-founder of Kickstarter. Obviously, we've had Ken and the folks from Republic on numerous times, so you definitely dig that. You can follow me and all of my Twitter madness and things that are going on at Katoon pretty much everywhere. And we are about to launch the brand new website, technori.com, is going to be much more mobile friendly, which I'm very, very excited about. Check that out. By the time this launches, all of these crazy things we're talking about will have happened. So yeah, boom, that's a wrap.